welcome to Faith Forward Baptist Church this evening. So good to see you all here for our Wednesday night service. Find your seats, please. Take a hymnal. Go to hymn 191, and we'll begin tonight. Hymn number 191. In my heart there rings a melody. Hymn number 191. Once you find your place, begin singing on that verse. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. Hymn number 191. Lift your voice together now on that verse. Hymn number 191.
I have a song that Jesus gave me.
Ask blessing on the service, so if you would bow your heads together with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be in church on this Wednesday evening. Thank you for the safety and the health that you've provided for us to be able to be here. We just ask, Lord, your blessing upon us as we come before you tonight and assemble together and worship you. And we just ask your blessing upon us and that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we sing unto you, and that you would also just prepare our hearts for the preaching tonight. We ask that you fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit, help him preach with power, with unction, and that you may have him speak the words that you'd want him to speak, and that we would be attentive to the message tonight, and that all that's said and done would bring back the honor and the glory that you deserve for it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 121 is next. 121, like a river glorious. Hymn number 121.
Thank you.
guys hear me? Yes, no, maybe so. I really can't hear myself. You guys good back there? All right, because I have to do something with this microphone. It keeps falling off because this, I don't know, it doesn't have enough grip on my tie. You know, so I wrapped it around my neck, amen. But I can still talk pretty good. So let's get to the bulletin. If you need one, raise your hands, and the ushers will give you a bulletin as soon as they can. If you have one, please open it up on the upper left-hand corner. It's our service times. Below that is our soul winning times. And at the very bottom is our salvation and baptisms for the year. And on the right corner, once again, congratulations to the Betty family and the birth of their precious baby boy, Luca Alfred, born on May 18th at 3:13 a.m., weighing 9 pounds, 9 ounces, and measuring 21 inches. And in case you don't know, the Father's Day weekend soul winning hiking trip for Friday, June 13th through the 14th, you know, is going to be something that we have to RSVP. So if you haven't emailed us yet, you can hit us after the service, talk to Brother Ramon so we can get you on the list and get you a room for that weekend. Once again, the hike itself is going to be on the 14th, but the soul winning is going to be on Friday, June 13th. And once again, please RSVP at faithfulword1@gmail.com or talk to Brother Ramon if you still want to come, but you haven't let us know. If you turn around your bulletin this Sunday coming up, please join us, you know, for our morning and our evening service with our special guest, Pastor Jonathan Shelley from Steadfast Baptist Church. I look forward to listening to him preach. He's a great preacher and a great friend of our church. And also we will have Donuts Sunday starting at 10 a.m. for those in honor of those celebrating their birthday in the month of June. And also our upcoming events are right there. Pastor Coleman Russell will be preaching on June 18th. And obviously that's because Pastor Anderson will be on a missions trip winning souls. Amen. All right. So if you got somebody saved this Monday, go ahead and raise your hand. Give me the number starting on my left-hand side. Any salvations for Monday? Really? None? Somebody go get somebody saved. There we go. All right, just a quick quiz. Let's see who knows the answer. Who thinks they know how many salvations Faithful Word Baptist Church averages or has been averaging every day this year? Who wants to give it a shot? I'll give you multiple choice. What's that? I heard 20. I heard 5. I heard 20. 10. 5? 12. All right, and the number is, Ramon, do you know what it is? It's over 25 a day. We're tracking all our salvations, averaging them out per month and per day. And so far, 25 salvations a day is what we're averaging. I didn't believe it either. I'm like, how in the world? But praise the Lord, keep up the good work, amen. Now for Tuesday, anybody any salvations on Tuesday? We got 3 right over here. Is that 1 or 2? That's a 1 right there for Tuesday. Any other salvations? And Wednesday. Is that a 1? Amen. Brother Ramon, is that a 2? All right. Any other salvations? Going once, going twice. All right. Brother Daniel.
All right, you can find the answer in front of your hymnal with the hymn entitled, Give of Your Best to the Master. If you don't have an answer, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will hand you one. We'll sing it on that first verse together. Give of the best to your master. hymn number 335. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Hymn number 335. Maybe in the battle or countless things inside. But if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Hymn number 335. Sing it out together now.
Offering plates, and while we're passing around the offering plates, please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5.
1 Peter chapter number 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for Faith Word Baptist Church, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to be better Christians every day, and that showing up to church this evening would help us all to love one another more and love you more and to love the lost. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill Brother Segura with your Holy Spirit, help him to preach from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I just want to start out by saying that it's been an absolute pleasure stepping in for Pastor Anderson, being able to allow him to go have a vacation with his family and be able to do some missions as well. And so don't worry, you only got me for one more Wednesday night, and then after that is back to regular scheduled program. Amen. So before that, obviously we have a sermon tonight to preach. And if you have your Bible right there in 1 Peter 5, the verse that I want to focus on is verse number 7 that says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's what I want to do tonight, is I want to help you guys be able to do that, be able to cast all your care upon God. Why? Because that's what he wants, because he cares about you. He wants to hear from you, you as his children. Amen. And what ultimately for? Right there, look at verse number 8. He wants you to be sober, be vigilant. And it's a reminder that we do have an adversary. And who is that adversary? The devil. Because your adversary, the devil, it's a roaring lion, walketh about, seek him whom he may devour. And that's what he's doing tonight. He's looking who he may devour, who he may destroy. And one of the ways we can help, you know, to keep ourselves from being destroyed is through prayer. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Matthew 26:40. And I hope that you guys are all ready, since you're the Wednesday night crowd, take prayer as serious as possible, because God takes it as serious as possible. And one verse that I like to just show people, to demonstrate just how much Jesus takes prayer very serious, you know, is in Matthew 26:40. And in Matthew 26:40, this is Jesus, and he says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Not half an hour, not 2 hours. He says at least 1 hour. Why? Because prayer gives us strength. Prayer is super important. Amen. And the title of my sermon tonight is this. Hopefully you can stay with me for a sec. This is the title of my sermon. Mi problemas. Mi problemas. Things to pray for every day. And mi problemas may sound like I'm saying some kind of word in Spanish, but it's not a word. It's an acronym. In case people on the internet are wondering, hey, he misspelled the word, 2 B's instead of 1? Maybe you guys saw the title and wonder, what the heck is he talking about? Well, if you count the letters, it's 12 letters. And tonight I want to go over 12 things that I think we should all be praying for every single day. And of course, mi problemas is, of course, you know, 2 words in Spanish. It means my problems. But if you have a hard time remembering mi problemas, you could just change it to my problems. So somebody would ask me, hey, when you pray, what do you pray about? Well, I pray, you know, about my problems. And we're going to go letter by letter through this acronym to kind of give you guys an idea of what I'm talking about. But you already saw Jesus Christ in Matthew 26:40. He made a big deal about the disciples staying awake and praying with him 1 hour. But you don't have to go there. I'll just quickly read some verses about Jesus Christ's prayer life. And in Mark 1:35, it says this, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Notice it says in the morning, rising up a great while before day. And I often preached on prayer and always wondered, like, what time was that? A great while before day? What was it, 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m.? I don't think it's 6 a.m. in Arizona around this time because it's already daylight. That is already day. So if he got up a great while before day, what time before it starts getting bright around here? Does anybody know? In the summertime, what is it, 5 a.m.? The lights are up? So a great while before that, it has to be at least 4 a.m. But just to kind of see that, hey, a great while before day, what was it, 3 a.m.? But he's definitely getting up early, and that's one of the things. This isn't one of my points, but I just want to go over prayer really quickly because I think it's important every time we talk about prayer to talk about kind of what Jesus did, how he prayed, and some verses that kind of give us an idea of when we should looking to get up and pray. For example, Proverbs 8:17 says this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, of course, it's talking about wisdom, but if you think about it, it's referring to God. You want to find God early? You got to get up early. Psalms 5:3 says this, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And I think he said morning twice for a reason, because I think God wants us to get up in the morning before, I guess you can say, bad things may happen. Now, Psalms 55:17 says this, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. So we see that even in the morning here, evening and at noon, it's not just once a day that David's talking about praying. He's talking about three times in a day. And of course, let me just go quickly over some hindrances, because this is always a good reminder for people. There are some things that can hinder your prayers. And for example, I bring this up a lot because I want people to just remember it as much as possible. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So one of the things that will hinder your prayers is hidden sin. Sin that you're not confessing to God, willing to forsake it. Those can hinder you, can hinder your prayers. Another thing, Mark 11:25 says this, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, in other words, your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So nothing that can hinder your prayers is an unforgiving spirit. Another thing that can hinder your prayers, and this is one of the things that I didn't know until it was explained to me, or I read it myself, but then I had it explained as well, is that having a bad marriage can hinder your prayer. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them. Of course, talk about your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And one of the reasons why I believe Pastor Anderson has a good marriage is because he has prayed a lot, and a lot of his prayers have come true. So I think his prayers are not being hindered, regardless of what people out there on the internet may think or say. Another thing that can hinder your prayer is if you turn away from God's word. Proverbs 28:9 says this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And just some things about prayer that I want to quickly go over. Obviously, you saw the hindrances of prayer. You saw where it says that we should get up early, seek the Lord. That's one of the things that we should aim for. Obviously, if you work the graveyard shift, then maybe as soon as you wake up, that's your morning prayer. You know, but I don't know if I told you to go to Genesis. If not, don't worry about it. You can go to Mark 2 if you can get there before I do. But here's some of the things I also like to point out to people when it comes to prayer. Genesis 18:12 says this, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, should I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Yeah, you didn't laugh out loud, but she laughed on the inside. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, by thou this laugh. So in other words, God knows what you're saying on the inside, and God can also not just hear on the outside, he can also hear you on the inside. And this is important because this is a way of me telling you guys that you can pretty much pray anytime during the day. From here to the bookshelf, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds? You can get a lot done from here to there. And if you're thinking, would that even really count? Well, let's keep reading. You're a Mark, correct? It says this, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So these are people speaking in their hearts. Why did this man thus blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? So he's hearing them talking bad about him. And guess what? It hasn't changed. God can still hear you talking bad about your fellow church member or your fellow co-worker or your boss or your wife or your husband. So don't forget that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and he can hear you. And this is what it says in Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Luke 5:22, same thing. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? I don't know if you guys can get to Genesis 24:45, but you know what? Meet me in 1 Samuel 1:13. Go ahead and go to 1 Samuel 1:13. In Genesis 24:45, it says this. Talk about Abraham's servant that went to go find Isaac a wife. It says, and before I had done speaking, he's kind of telling, hey, this is what happened to me when I was coming over here to look for a wife for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And the part that I want you guys to listen to is where he says, and before I had done speaking in my heart. So here's Abraham's servant. He's praying in his heart. But yet that counted. Because God says, before you even speak, I'm going to answer you. And this is a perfect example. Here he is speaking in his heart, and guess what happens? His prayer is getting answered as he's speaking in his heart. So when it comes to prayer, I can just tell you right now, do it as much as you can. Do it wherever. Do it secretly. But of course, like you saw in the earlier verse, where David said this, my voice should out hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I would direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And that was in the verse I was looking for. But where he says, and cry out loud. So sometimes we should, you know, speak out loud. But obviously God wants us to do things in secret, and whatever you pray in secret, he's going to reward you openly. And when I think about Abraham's servant, sometimes I think about my old pastor back in California, David Azzarello. He's the one that gave me the gospel. He's the one that got me saved. And he was talking about one time, you know, he was praying. You know, he was praying in his car, and next thing you know, the police pulls him over. And he just wonders, like, what the? I wasn't speeding or anything. So he just ends up pulling over. The cops comes up to him, and he's asking him, do you know why I pulled you over? And he's like, officer, I honestly don't know. I wasn't speeding. No, you weren't speeding. He's like, what, my taillight? Nope. He had a brand new SUV. I think he had an Acura that the deacons got him, you know, just to be a blessing unto him. And he's like, well, I don't know what's going on. The reason I pulled you over is so you were talking on your phone. And he's like, talking on my phone? Yeah, I saw you. He's like, officer, you're not going to believe this. But I was not talking on my phone. I was actually praying. But he was praying, and he was being bugged by whatever he was praying, and he had his hand kind of like resting his head. Did you remember that story, Joan? Yeah, she remembers that story. He's like, I got pulled over by the cops praying because he was into it. You know, he was praying, and his lips were moving, and the cop on the bike sees him, and he thinks he has a phone because he's moving his mouth. But this is a man who taught me how to pray, and he did a lot of praying, and I saw him pull a lot of miracles in my eyes. I recognize a Red Sea miracle. You know, it is what it is. You guys will probably recognize the same. And so when it comes to praying, praying is something you can do internally, externally, God will hear you. As long as you don't have those hindrances to prayer, and I try to keep it simple, just 4 hindrances. You know, if you don't remember them, let me know, and I'll give them to you. I'll text them to you, whatever the case. You know, but I want you guys to start out seeing some things. Number one, we should get up early to pray when we can. Number two, there are hindrances. Make sure that you don't hinder your prayers, and I give you a list of 4 things. Number three, hey, whatever it is, internal, external, just pray. God wants to hear your voice, and he will answer you if it's best for you to pray internally, because he doesn't want you to be this holier than thou, just praying out loud every single second of the day. That could weird people out. Who's ever seen that before? People just can't help themselves, like the Pharisees, just every little second they can, everything has to be out loud. They just have to let everybody know that they're praying. But in case you doubt the servant, I had to go to 1 Samuel 1:13. This is Hannah, the story of Hannah, where she did the same thing. It says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. So when it comes to prayer, you can see that, hey, God did answer her as well. He gave her a child. She was praying. People couldn't see what she was doing. People couldn't tell what she was doing, but she was clearly preaching to the Lord. You know, but really quickly, a few more things, and then I'll get into the acronym. I'm 13 minutes in. I'll try to wrap it up in an hour. If you need some stronger coffee, let me know. They told me to get rid of the strong coffee I was buying. Who's ever heard of Dead Wish Coffee? The world's strongest coffee. In case you're wondering why he's so wired sometimes, because that's what I was getting. They're like, tone it down, you know, get the good stuff, but don't get something so strong. But really quickly, why should we pray? Well, because if you don't, it's sin. Let's just start out with that one. Luke 18:1 says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. I like this verse, 1 Samuel 12:33 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. What did he say? He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. But I would teach you the good and the right way. So one of the things that motivates me to keep praying every day is that it's sin, and I don't want to have sin in my life. So I want to make sure that I pray every single day. Another reason we should pray is because so God can bless you. Just listen up. Matthew 7:8 says this, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. So what is that saying? Some people that don't receive is because they're not what? Asking. And what is prayer? Prayer is not praising. Prayer is not singing, unless you're singing in a way where you're asking God for something. But simply put, prayer is asking. So why should we pray? Because if you don't, it's sin. Because guess what? God wants to bless you, and when you pray, he can bless you. James 4:2 says this, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye what? Ask not. Ask not. So why should you pray? Because if you don't, it's sin. If you don't pray, God cannot bless you. Why else should you pray? Because it's fun. It's fun to pray. You're missing out if you're not praying, especially when you pray for your enemies, and you're like, God, get them. Get him good. No mercy on this guy. It is crystal clear. He is a child of the devil. But for everyone else that hates us because they ain't us, have mercy on those people, Lord. Have mercy on them. Have fun with it. Don't believe me? Look what it says right here. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You want to have some joy in your life? Don't just do the right thing. Pray. Pray. You'll realize it's actually fun to pray, and I'll give you some tips on how to pray. And another reason why you should pray is because it's rewarding. Let me explain. Matthew 6:6, I already quoted it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen? And it's awesome when God rewards you openly. I got to tell you the story of the piano that kind of has to do with this. Who knows the history of this piano? No one? You? Awesome. Well, let me quickly say it. Daniel, you know. Yeah, I'm kind of put you at blast a little bit, but I hope that's okay. You'll see what I mean. So let me tell you the history of this piano. So we used to have another piano. It used to break down all the time. Right, Daniel? We had to keep fixing it over and over. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you too much, bro. I can see you already, you know, getting a little bit upset over there, but that's okay. Don't worry, Daniel. Trust me. I'll be merciful. I'm going to make you look good in a way. So we used to have a really, really old piano. I mean, this thing, I think they got it out of the Titanic from the bottom of the ocean. It was that old. It was just old. At least 80 from when they looked up the records. The guy that came to tune it one time, he was curious. He's like, okay, he's looked it up. There's like a way to figure out how old the piano is based on the serial numbers, the model and all that stuff. He's like, man, this thing's over 80 years old. I'm like, I don't even know how it's still working. But it would break like every single month, if not twice a month. So, of course, it was what it was. The piano player says, hey, listen, I have to have a serious conversation with you. I'm like, what's going on? I think it's time to get a piano. I'm like, well, I don't know anything about pianos. What do you want to do? Well, me and this other church member were thinking maybe we should go to the piano store and see what they got. And then maybe we can hit up pastor, give him some numbers. So I'm like, sure, why not? Let's do it. So we end up doing that. We're like, okay, fine. Let's just go. So we went to the piano store, Arizona Piano. You know, I don't know if they're still open, but it's like one of the biggest warehouses out here. So we walk in, what are you looking for? We're looking for a piano, but I don't know what, talk to them. So I just kind of just chilled, and they're all talking. He's showing them pianos. So then, of course, they start with the $5,000 piano, and she's like, like blasting that thing, you know? And the guy's like, whoa, beast mode, I see, you know? So it's like, okay, it's okay. What you got? Okay, well, I got this other one, $10,000 piano. Once again, sits down. If you don't even know, I'm not talking about Kira, okay, in case you're wondering. I'm talking about our old pianist. You know, if you don't know who I'm talking about, that's okay, but let's just put it this way. Sometimes she got into beast mode. So then that's what she's doing at the store. She's like tearing up these pianos. Next thing you know, it's like, what else you got? I'm like, what else you got, Captain? That's like 10,000 already. What do you mean, what else you got? Well, it's good, Brother Segura, but I'm telling you, you don't want to waste 10,000 like that. It's a good piano, but we need to look at something different. I'm like, okay, 15, go. We got it right over here, $15,000 piano. What else you got? I'm like, are you serious, Catherine? Hits the $20,000 piano range. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I get paid per hour. I don't care. So she gets on it and, all right, this is kind of good. You know, then she had a little backup pianist as well that I guess she can kind of tell if it's good or bad. So she's listening. Yeah, it's good. What else you got? Well, I got this one over here, but it's way more than y'all were thinking. I'm like, how much? $25,000? $25,000. It's like, Brother Greer, go for it. Just go try it out. So she goes and sits on it, and she's like, okay, I made that up, but you get the point. Then she looks at me, and she's like, oh. I'm like, oh, no. You're a no. No, 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 no. It's like, you're trying to get me fired. He's like, I think we have to talk to Pastor. I'm like, oh. Man, well, he gets back in a day or so I'll talk to him. Then Pastor finally shows up, and he's like, okay, what's going on, guys? We got to talk. What's going on? Well, me and Captain want to talk to you about a new piano, like now. Oh, well, what's up? Well, this thing breaks, constantly tuning it. It's over 80 years old. He's like, I know. So I think we found one, but it's a little expensive. He's like, just hit me with it. Let's go. How much? $25,000. No way. 10 maybe, but not 25. We're like, oh, we just figured we ask in case somebody happens to show up and drop a bag full of money. That should be on the first on the list. So he told us no. And then later in the day, me, her, and him. We just happened to be hanging out late. And she's like, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, I need to talk to you too. And she walks up to me, and she's like, listen, I think that's the piano God wants us to have. He's like, you know what? I've been thinking about that all day. I think you're right. And she's not like, hey, $25,000 piano. No, she said this $25,000 piano. Not another one like it, but this particular one on the floor. And I said, yep, I agree. So what are we going to do? All we're going to do is pray. That's what I said. We're going to pray. We're going to get it. I believe it's ours. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. And as soon as I say we're going to get this piano, Daniel overheard something different. Because right away, he's like, what do you mean? Pastor said we're not going to buy no $25,000 piano. Remember that? Remember that? Am I lying? Not lying. Right away, he's like, what are you guys talking about? You're going to get the piano. Pastor already said no. And we're like, hush. Remember that? Hush. This is what's going to happen. We're going to pray right now, Daniel, me, you, and Catherine, and we're going to say, Lord, we want this piano down in Arizona Pianos. We want it. We think that's the piano for us. You know what? We don't ask that it'll come out from our budget. We just ask that somebody online listens to Pastor Anderson, realizes they're not saved, gets saved, has some money, shows up, finds out what's going on, and pays for the piano. Didn't I say that? That's exactly what it said. In Jesus' name, amen, right? What do you say? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? A month? Let's put it this way. Before you know it, it's in the building. And that's exactly what happened. Somebody walked in that was excited to be here, recently saved, listening to, right? Listen to Pastor Anderson, finds out we need a piano, calls me up after soul winning, and says, hey, I want to get you that piano. I'm like, what do you mean? That piano that you guys are talking about over in Arizona Piano Place? Let's go get it. Right now? Right now. I'm coming to get you, buddy. Before you change your mind. So we go over there. We tell him, we're here for that piano. You still got it? Yes, we do. I'm like, all right. How are you paying? Card. All right. Swipe it. Boom. Reject it. He's like, 1 second. Calls the bank. Yep, it's me. All right. Swipe it again. Boom. Accept it. We're like, when you want it? As soon as possible. What are you going to do with the other one? I don't know. Just get it delivered. He's like, don't, doesn't matter. We'll get it delivered. Do our thing. Put it in the church. It is what it is. So I decided to get a little bit evil with it. So that night, Catherine's practicing, breaking piano chords, like always. And I'm like, Catherine, I got some bad news. And she's like, what is it? That piano you wanted, just found out today is sold. It's gone. It's on its way to its new owner. Okay. I guess it wasn't meant to be. Nope, it wasn't. Just wanted to let you know, bye. Go back into my office, and I'm just laughing my butt off because she is hurting bad. Like, she's emotional as emotional can get. My wife's like, you're so mean. I'm like, I know, but it's worth it, though. It's worth it. So then she goes to work, and then I knew when it was going to get delivered. The guy comes in. I'm like, hurry up, bro. Bring this thing in because maybe she'll, like, leave work early or something. We just want to have it ready for her because she usually shows up after work and comes practices at midnight, and especially the night before a service. So then the guy comes in, puts it in there, unwraps it, does his thing. I get ropes with cones, wrap it around. I put signs, do not touch or you'll die, unless you're Catherine. And so sure enough, like, I'm staying at the building, just waiting for her to come, and I finally see her on her bike. I'm like, all right, let's hide, let's hide, let's hide. So we're, like, hiding. She walks in, taking her sweet time, struggling with the key. I'm like, is she messing with shit? Does she know? Like, hurry up, get in there. And then she's, like, messing with it. We're, like, hiding. Pops it open, starts walking. Walking, walking, looks up, she's staring at it, and she's like, starts jumping, and I pop out of nowhere, and she's like, oh, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, you were messing with me, I knew it. And she's like, oh, I feel so dumb, I should have just said, yep, it's getting delivered, when's it gonna be here? But you broke me, you made me lose faith. And I'm like, well, it's like the Bible says, whatever you pray in secret, hey, God's going to reward you openly. Then we tell pastor, and he's like, man, hey, whenever I need something big, I'm going to call her up, because who knows? Who knows when I'll need her? And all that to say this, prayer is super important. I don't think God just answered that for fun. He answered it so I can have it as this cool illustration and keep it from sleeping, amen? But now that we're through with the intro, I'm 26 minutes and 51 seconds left. So if you can get to Luke 22, get to Luke 22 as fast as you possibly can. So, my acronym, Mi Problemas. Obviously, if you know a little bit of Spanish, it does mean me, my problems, but it has an extra B, and I'll explain that later. But these are 12 things I think we should all pray for every single day, and I have them in the order that I think matters. What's up, Daniel? You're going to punch me in the face? Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you too much. But you were there. You were part of the prayer, bro. Exactly. You know, it got answered because you didn't have iniquity in your heart. God heard us all, right? With two or three gathered, there he was in the midst, correct? If it weren't for you, it wouldn't have got either, right? Even though you doubt it. That's another story. So, mi problemas. MIPROBBLEMAS. What is the first letter? Well, obviously it's the M. What does it stand for? Here's what it stands for. I honestly believe that after, of course, I've talked about this in the past. Whenever I pray, I use the acronym ACTS. The A stands for adoration. I just start singing to the Lord, praising the Lord, telling him how great he is. And then after that, I confess all my sins, so I make sure I don't have iniquity in my heart so the Lord can hear me. Then, of course, I don't want to just get right into prayer. I want to thank him before I start asking, thank him for as much possible things as I can. you know, in the amount of time that I have, could be an hour, 15 minutes, 10 minute break, whatever the case, I do it every single time. You know, so then after that, then I get to my supplication part. And of course, my supplication part is where I'm asking. And so when it comes to the first thing I start praying for, which is the letter M, is my pastor. That is the first thing I start praying for. Why? Because the devil will love nothing more than to destroy our pastor. Everything does rise and fall on leadership. And guess what? If he gets the shepherd to just scatter, we're all going to scatter. And how do I know? Because, hey, remember what Jesus said to, I believe it was Peter? In Luke 22:31, it says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I'm telling you tonight that it hasn't changed for actual men of God that are doing a lot for the Lord. The devil is still out to get them. He's also out to get you if you're doing a lot for the Lord. So guess what? I'll talk about it later, but yeah, we all should be praying for each other, but most importantly, we should start out by praying for our pastor. If you just have 1 minute, I wish that everybody would realize just how important it is to pray for our spiritual leader, because Satan will love nothing more than to destroy our pastor, in case you haven't figured it out. Why? Because spiritual leaders are on the front lines. You know, Jesus warned Peter that Satan specifically desired him. Imagine that. I mean, there's billions of people on this planet. I told my kids this. Let me ask you something. Do you guys really think that the devil doesn't know your name, doesn't know every single person in this church? I guarantee you he knows you. He knows you. He knows Brother Jimmy. He knows his wife. He knows the pastor. He knows all you guys. And I can guarantee you that he's looking around seeing who he may devour. That's what he does. And so, of course, the devil loves to attack, you know, the leadership. Zechariah 13:7 says this, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. See, when a pastor falls, it affects the whole church and even other churches. It may not even be in the exact same country. It could be somewhere else in another part of the world. And we need to do our best to protect our pastor. And the best way we can do it is not with our guns, even though I love guns. Amen? It's with our prayers. And so, of course, you know, Jesus quotes the same verses that I just quoted you guys, Zechariah 13:7. You know, but we're commanded to pray for those that are in authority. For example, 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Your pastor is a God-given authority. Just like the government is a God-given authority as well, our parents are God-given authorities. So are pastors as well. And we need to, like it says right there, exhort them, supplications, prayers for them. And so, of course, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And if they watch for our souls, we should be watching for his soul as well. And I think it would be awesome. I wonder how many people are in here right now. Who did the count? How many we got? 156. I guarantee you at least 100 of those 156 can pray. And I would love it if all 100 of those 156 or more every day, first thing in the morning, first thing they do is put our pastor in their heads and start praying for him, that God will protect them, that God will pardon them. If obviously we're all, none of us are perfect, so it is what it is. There's going to be sin that we all commit every day. I'm not saying he's out there committing adultery, but I'm telling you that we have hundreds, if not thousands of thoughts every single day. I guarantee you not all our thoughts are perfect. Some are foolish, some are lustful thoughts, but at the end of the day, we all sin every single day. So, of course, asking God to pardon our pastor if he's done anything wrong, to protect him, to fill him with the Holy Spirit's power, is stuff that we should all aim to do every single day. Amen? See, in case you don't know, your prayer can strengthen our pastor. For example, Ephesians 6:19 says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And some places are easier than others to preach the gospel. But what is Paul saying? Listen, pray that God will give me boldness. So our prayers can give our pastor boldness. See, pastors, you don't understand, they have a lot of burdens. You know, they have to deal with a lot of things. And it's very hard sometimes. And what we can do at the bare minimum is pray every single day for them, that God would help them, protect them, exactly what I just said. And one example where pastors, they need their people, is in Exodus 17:11. It's the story of when Moses, when they're fighting Amalek, And it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. See, Moses needed support. You know, he was the leader, but he still needed people to help him out. And Moses was the leader, but he couldn't hold up his arms forever, so he needed help. And see, the burdens that our pastor has that you may not know of, we can help him go through them by praying that God will strengthen him. And he will answer your prayer. He promises he will. Just like Aaron and Hur, they weren't trying to take, you know, Moses' place, but they stood beside him, and that's how we should be. We should be like Aaron and Hur and stand behind our pastor and help him with the burdens that he goes through, with the ministry, with this world, with his children. You know, every single pastor will tell you the exact same thing, that it's harder than I thought it was going to be if they're doing a great job for the Lord. If they're not, they may not think so, but at the end of the day, when you're really doing something for the Lord, when you're really going out there and getting people saved, when you're not just playing church, when you're changing people's lives, guess what? That will draw the devil towards you to destroy you, to get you to stop. So your pastor needs your prayers every single day. He is fighting battles that you will probably never see. He's carrying burdens that you will never know. You know, but he's also preaching the truth in a world that's filled with lies. And guess what? The attack's not just going to be from the devil. It's going to be from his minions, his devils, and his children. And he's just a man, but you know what? We can help him be as strong as humanly possible. Galatians 6:6 says this, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. And how do we communicate with God? Through prayer. And that's one of the things that we can do for our pastor every single day. Amen? And obviously, the next letter is the I, because you got me, M-I, the I. Next thing that I recommend you pray for is your family. Obviously, the I stands for immediate, your immediate family. You know, Job 1:5 says this, and it was so when the days of their feastings were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. See, Job's prayer was for his family, and I recommend we do the same thing. Because if you're doing something for the Lord, when you want to do something for the Lord, the devil knows that he needs to do something to you. And if he can't get you to fall, guess who he's going after next? Your family. So it's our responsibility as dads to pray for our children. You know, Job didn't wait for trouble to come. You know, he started to preemptively pray for his children. And that's how parents need to be. We need to be our spiritual watchmen for our children and pray for them as much as possible. And it says clearly that children are a heritage of the Lord. You know, it's a blessing to have children. You know, we need to do our best to take care of those children. And one of the things that we can do is to pray for them that God will protect them. And it will happen. It reminds me of when Pharaoh took Abraham's wife. He was going to take her as his wife, and he was going to do what husbands do when they get a wife. But of course, God stepped in, and he stopped Pharaoh from sinning against him and another guy as well. And so if you think that prayer doesn't work in the way that you think it works, just keep reading the word. It'll build your faith in prayer. And we need to pray for our children, consistently pray for them. You know, this was a daily discipline that Job had. You know, he prayed for his family consistently, not occasionally. And think about it like this. He was praying even though he wasn't sure, just in case his kids were going in the wrong direction, he was praying for them. Like it says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And that's what he ended up doing. He didn't just pray just for the sake of it. He did it because he knew that, hey, life is something that will tempt kids, you know, to do wrong. And we all been there. We were all kids. We were all teenagers. We were all young adults. Some of you guys are young adults right now. You probably already figured out that temptation is out there. The devil wants you to fall for it. And he will love nothing more than to ruin you, your testimony, so that you won't do much for the Lord. But we need to do what Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's what we need to understand, that we need to make the choice that we're going to do our best to protect our children. And one of the ways to do it is to pray for them. Joshua 24:15, you know, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is to come to God with prayer. Amen? So don't neglect your own children. Parents, make sure that you're doing everything you can to protect them. Make sure that we're praying for them like Joel did, one by one, Pray for each one by name. You know that each one has a different issue. So bring that issue up to God, like we read in 1 Peter 5, casting all your cares upon the Lord because he careth for you. And that's one of the things that we need to do as parents is, yes, like 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any man provide not for his own, especially those for his own house, he has denied the faith, he is worse than an infidel. Yes, we need to provide, you know, food, we need to provide shelter, we need to provide clothing, but don't forget that we also need to provide protection. And one of the ways to do that is like Job did, is to get up early, because he also got up early, and he prayed for his children because he cared about his immediate family. And I'm sure that his wife was also somebody that he prayed for. But listen, even if you pray for your children, even if you pray for your wife, things still may happen to them, but at least it's not because you're not praying. At least you can always look back and be like, well, whatever's going on right now, whatever this situation is, you know, one thing for sure, it's not because I have failed to pray for my kids. Let it not be that reason why things may be going wrong with your kids or your wife, because we all know the story of Job. Hey, his kids got destroyed. His wife was losing her mind, telling Job to curse God and just quit, but that's not what God wanted. It was a test. So we need to realize that even though we pray for our children, things may still happen, but once again, just let it not be because you're not praying. Amen? All right, so besides my pastor, besides my immediate family, who do I pray for next? Well, the next P stands for the pastor's family. See, Satan knows he can destroy the leader, you know, if he can destroy his children. Maybe the leader's too strong. Well, who is he going to go after? He's going to go after the kids. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and go to 2 Samuel 18:33. You can wait for me right there. I'm just going to quickly read from Job 1:18. We all know the story, but I'm going to read it. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And of course, what's going on? He's telling them that his children just died. They were drinking wine in his eldest brother's house, and this wind came from and destroyed the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young man, and now his children are dead. Who was ultimately behind this? It was ultimately Satan that was behind this, because in Job 1:11, we can see where he got permission to do this. It says, but put forth the hand now and touch all that he hath, that's including his children, and he was cursed to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So he goes out there and he goes and destroys his kids. Why? Because he knew that this is one of the things that can get pastors to fall. We've all heard of Eli. What was the issue with Eli? Is that his sons were just wicked and he couldn't think anything about it. So it ruined him and it ruined his ministry, and ultimately God replaced him. So he knows, okay, maybe I cannot get rid of the man of God, but I'm going to go after his children. So I beg you guys, if you can, throughout the day, every day, pray for Mrs. Anderson, pray for the kids. And if you don't have a list of their names, hey, come let me know. I'll text it to you. If you have, where's Ramon at? Ramon, we got to get that thing out as fast as possible. You know what I'm talking about. Their yearbook with everybody's names. You know, but we should every single day bring, of course, not just pastor, not just our immediate family, but also pastor's family. Have just a special moment to pray for Mrs. Anderson and the kids, because that's who the devil's going to target, because he knows, the devil knows. If I can get rid of these kids, get them to just go astray, hurt them in any way, shape, or possible, it's going to affect our pastor, you know, and ultimately, what's the devil's goal? To get them to quit. And those of us that have children, we love our kids more than they even know. Anything happens to them, anything they say or do, it can affect us in a negative way. And that's what we need to do our best, to not just pray for our own family, not just to pray for our pastor, but to also bring our pastor's family as much as we can. See, Job was a godly man, and Satan, he knew. He knew that, you know what, I probably won't get him to curse God, but you know what, I can hurt him and increase my chances of being able to succeed in it. But I told you to go to 2 Samuel 18:33. If kids don't know yet, I just want to let you know tonight that, hey, as parents, we love the living daylights out of you guys. We want the best for you guys. The devil knows it, and that's why you guys need to also kind of do your part and not just pray for yourself, but also increase your chances of succeeding and being able to fight off the arrows of the devil. In 2 Samuel, you know, we kind of get an understanding of how much parents love children, and it says, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, who is this? This is David, the leader. What's going on? He's crying over his son. And this is a son that rebelled. This is a son to try to steal his kingdom. This is a son to try to kill his father. But yet what happened when he got killed? It affected David. So whenever something happens to our children, it can affect the leader. And that's what we need to do our best to increase the chances of the devil not being able to touch Pastor Anderson's family. And we do that through prayer. Because the thing is, pastor's kids are constantly being watched, they're constantly being judged, they're constantly being targeted by the devil, by wicked people, infiltrators. I've been here since 2009. I've seen family after family after family come in, creep in, try to destroy one kid one by one, from the oldest all the way to the youngest. And sometimes they succeeded to get him to fall, but ultimately it is what it is. The devil is the one that's behind it. Amen? But we need to do our best to try to protect these kids. And, of course, we can't watch them. And I'm not talking about a physical type of protection. I'm talking about just through prayer, just through faith. Amen? So that's one of the things that I quickly wanted to just go over, is not just praying for pastor, not just praying for your immediate family, but also taking a special moment to pray for Mrs. Anderson, pray for the kids, and name them one by one, bring them to the Lord. And the Lord would hear. Imagine if 100 of us do that. Come on, one of us has to be right with the Lord where he's going to hear, man. Come on, we're faithful word. Hopefully it's more. But if you strike out, maybe Brother Johnson, he'll listen to you, maybe. You know, if I'm filled with pride or I have a prideful look and I'm being an abomination unto the Lord, maybe he'll hear you or your wife or Jacob or Brother Brock over here or you or anybody else. Let's just do our best to remember not just our family, not just pastor, but remember Pastor Anderson's, his immediate family. Amen? Let's just pray that God protects them, because it will affect our pastor. So not only should we pray for, you know, our pastor, our immediate family, Pastor Anderson's family, we should also pray for our real family, our real family. What do I mean? If you can, I don't think you can get there fast enough, but if you can, go ahead and meet me in Acts 5:3. Go to Acts 5:3. So what do I mean by our real family? Here's what I mean by my real family. I'm talking about you guys. I'm talking about the church members. That's who my real family is. Just listen up. Matthew 12:49 says this. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." This is where people are telling Jesus, "Hey, your mother and your brothers, they're wanting to speak with you." And he looks at his disciples, and he says, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Mark 3:34 says this, and he looked round about them, which sat about him, and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Luke 8:21 says this, and he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." So who should we be praying for every day? Our real family. Who's our real family? You. Look around. This is your real family according to Christ. See, that's the most important thing to realize, is that, hey, this is the group that you should be with. There will be people that backslide and they leave. There could be people here in the future. Your kids may go astray and take off. But you know what? Jesus said that here's my real family, those who hear the word of God, and they do it. So God forbid any of my kids want to get into sin. Any of my kids want to get into fornication, drunkenness, worldliness, and they want to take off. You know what I'm going to say? Hey, he's dead to me. That individual is dead to me. Here's my real family, those that hear the word of God and do it. And you're like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Well, isn't that what happened to the prodigal son? Didn't he take off and get into fornication, drunkenness, partying, you name it, right? And when he came back, what did the father say? "We should celebrate, because your brother, he was dead. Now he's alive again. Hey, let's just have a party and be happy. You know, he's no longer dead. Now he's back. Now he's back with the living, and now he's doing right." So who is our real family? Those who hear the word of God and do it. So don't side with people that don't love the Lord, don't love our church. That's not your family. This is your family. This is who we should be praying for every single day. Amen? Anybody who wants to get into fornication, commit a sin that's worth of being kicked out, you know what, let's deliver him unto Satan so Satan can get him right. So the faster Satan gets him or her right, the faster they can come back. the faster they can get in the right mind. But until then, this is the family that's alive and doing what's right. This is the ones that I'm going to prioritize and pray for every single day as much as I can. Obviously, there's like, what, 250 people sometimes on a Sunday night. So as many of you guys as I can fit in whatever amount of time I have during the day, I'll just try to get through everybody as much as I can. So when I stop and I think about, okay, my real family, Lord, who should I pray for? Hey, people start popping in my head. I start praying for things, and I don't even know if they even need them, but I just start praying for as many people as I can. So that's somebody who I think we should be praying for every single day. We should be loving each other, forgiving each other, serving each other, praying for one another, and even correcting one another, according to Galatians 6:1, whenever we need to. I'm 49 minutes in. I'm going to go past my hour, but I'm going to try to go through this as fast as possible. So obviously, like I said before, Mi Problemas, what's the acronym? The M is my pastor. The I is my media family. The P, that's pastor's family. The R, that's my real family. And now the O. Here's the O, other believers in Christ. People that are not in our church. I'm talking about Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Mejia. I'm talking about Pastor Shelley. I'm talking about your friends at other churches. We should be praying for them. Let's take a really quick look. You pretty much, if you know the New Testament, that's what you basically see. For example, Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Here's Paul talking to the Romans, saying, I'm always mentioning you guys in my prayers. He's probably at some other church, but yet he's praying for members of another church. And that's what we should do, because he says, hey, I mention you always in my prayers. I don't know if always means always, like every single time he prays, you know, because he had a lot of friends, but we should kind of have the same attitude. Always try to pray for Verity. Always try to pray for First Works. Always try to pray for Steadfast. And now, obviously, even Anchor. You know why? Because they need our prayers of protection as well. Our prayers of power as well. In case you don't know, he just got done preaching on Sunday night, goes home, and he's in the media. Pastor Alls, they're trying to destroy him as we speak. And I don't know the latest info on him, but you know what? If 100 people pray for him as soon as possible, what do you think is going to happen? Come on, one of us have to be right with the Lord. Really? Come on. All we need is one guy to be right with the Lord. Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? I'm just joking, but what about 100 people that are right with the Lord? How about that? What do you think is going to happen to Pastor Oz? He's going to be blessed. He's going to be protected. He's going to be, you know, whatever. But we need to do our part. And just more examples. Look at this. Romans 6:1 says this. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now he's mentioning a woman by name. That you resist her in the Lord, I'm sorry, you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints. Ephesians 1:15, wherefore also after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now he's talking to the Ephesians. What else? The Philippians. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And I try to do the same. I try to thank God upon every remembrance of you. Because obviously it would be impossible for me to pray for every single one of you by name every single day. But I do my best upon every remembrance of you guys when it's time for me to sit down and think about, okay, let me pray about other believers in Christ. Who can I think of? Hey, I start thinking about members from other churches. So think about it. This is something that God wants us to do as well. Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Colossians, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So who else should we be praying for? Other believers. We should be praying with joy. We should be praying with thankfulness that they're out there doing great things for the Lord, because that's the right thing to do, that they stay faithful, that they don't quit. So hopefully, if you haven't, maybe tonight would be a good night to bring up Pastor Alls before the Lord and be like, Lord, they're trying to destroy that man. He was a blessing unto us preaching here. Please do something. You know, do something. Step in. At least we can tell them, hey, we're praying for you, but we're not just saying it. We're actually doing it. So who's next? Here's who's next. After you pray for your pastor, your immediate family, pastor's immediate family, you could say, our real family, other believers in Christ, like Pastor Mejia, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Shelley, you know, Brother Oliver, the deacon down there, Verity, as many in every person you could possibly think of. Another group I think you should pray for every day is your blood family. Maybe that doesn't sound so cool, but that's all I can come up with another B, amen. Your blood family, what do I mean? Look how many times you see people praying for their family. For example, Genesis 48:15. I know I'm not giving you a lot of places to go to, but just listen up because I got to finish up as soon as I can. Listen to this, Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Jacob is praying and asking God to bless his grandsons. Grandpas, grandmas, hey, you know what? If you're praying for your grandsons, keep it up. It's the right thing to do. Here's more examples of people just praying for their bloodline, you could say. Genesis 18:23, and Abraham drew near and said, would thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Who is he praying for? Who do you think Abraham's praying for? If you know the Bible a little bit, you know who I'm talking about. So here he is praying for who? Exactly, he's praying for Lot. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Would thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Abraham wasn't just praying for the city. Who do you think he was praying actually for? For Lot. He didn't want him to get destroyed. He knew he was living over there. Look at a prayer of a father for his son. This son is somebody who obviously didn't end well, but at least he did his part as much as he could while he was still alive. 1 Chronicles 29:19. This is David praying for Solomon. He's telling God, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. David's praying for his son to follow the Lord and do what's right. So we should all as parents be doing the exact same thing. 2 Timothy 1:5, this is what it says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice. I am persuaded that in thee also, that one doesn't necessarily have to do with anybody praying for anyone, but it talks about Timothy's mom, Timothy's grandma, saying, hey, they had great faith. I wonder if they prayed for Timothy. And look how he ended up. He's like, hey, your grandmother, she has a great reputation. So does your mom. Well, I wonder if they prayed for old Timothy. Oh, I believe he did. And once again, it's a quick review. Jacob blessed his grandkids. Abraham interceded for Lot. David prayed for Solomon. And Timothy, he had a godly family that influenced him. And I have a hard time believing that his mom and his grandma didn't pray, that they weren't good prayer warriors, quote unquote. So let's keep moving. Another group that I think we should pray for every single day is backsliders, people that left our church. They're like, why? Because if I was a backslider, I would love it if 100 people prayed for me to get right. At least by the golden rule, we should be praying for backsliders that have left. Well, I don't really like it that much. Well, you know what? Golden rule. I'm sure if you were them, you got blinded by the devil, you're bitter, you're backslidden, you leave the church, your life is going downhill. I'm pretty sure you would absolutely appreciate 100 people praying for you that God will help you to get right, see the light, and get back on track, and help us to win the world for the Lord. Because it's a big world. We need every single rifleman we can possibly get. Did I lose my microphone? Still good? And here's an example. James 5:19 says this, brethren, and any of you do err from the truth. What is that? That's a backslider. They're erring from the truth. And what convert him? This isn't a conversion for salvation. This is convincing the person that you're going in the wrong direction. You got to fix yourself. If they have ears to hear, let them hear. And if not, you tried. You were the watchman, amen? You weren't the wicked. If they turn from the wicked ways, then great. But if not, hey, then they're going to get punished. They will suffer, but their blood is not going to be on your hands. Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So if you can convince someone to repent, guess what? You're going to hide them from a multitude of punishments that they're going to receive because of their sins and even save them from death if they're going in the wrong direction. Because sin, when it is finished, bringing forth what? Death. Have you heard of alcohol incidents? People that are like, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that you're probably going to get drunk one day and kill someone like you constantly see on YouTube. Guys getting drunk and killing people at high speeds is unbelievable. But it's a real danger, not just for people that are just already bitter, but anybody. Anybody can fall. So pray that, hey, these backsliders that have left our church, Lord, hey, if there's a chance, help them in any way possible. That's the attitude that we should have, because I don't want people to get destroyed. You know, I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want people who have left bitter that can still be saved. I'm not talking about people that are reprobates. I'm not talking about them. You guys know who I'm talking about. You know, I'm talking about people who just got deceived. That's all. They're blind again. You know, like the Bible says, let not sin rule over your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So instead of being free, they're back in bondage. Hey, let's just pray for them, because think about it. Pick the name. 100 of us pray for whoever we know. I don't think God's just going to say no. He's going to step in and do something. Even if it's like, Lord, whatever it takes, the biggest spanking in the world, give it to them. Help them to get right, by all means. They'll thank you later before they ruin their life to the point of no return. Like Absalom, like name the Bible character. Amen? All right, so besides our pastor, besides your immediate family, besides pastor's immediate family, you know, besides our real family, other believers in Christ, besides blood family, besides backsliders, who should we be praying for? Lost souls. Lost souls. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And now shall they hear without a preacher? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Bottom line, we should be praying that God brings in laborers, that we can use more help to help us reach the billions of people out there. That should be something that we obviously should be doing, because when you see the multitudes, it breaks your heart. You're like, man, is anybody going to reach these people? Lord, give us some people. Help us out. And obviously, pray for opportunities as well that God will give you when you're praying for the lost. You know, before you go out soul winning, or even after you go out soul winning, maybe you ran into someone, you weren't able to get them saved, but maybe you were able to give them some good scriptures, and maybe you got them close. Just pray that God doesn't allow the devil to, not that he allows him to, but that God will protect this person from the devil coming by and snatching it up. Because obviously, any opportunity can happen anytime when you're out there knocking doors, like the Samaritan woman that Christ gave the gospel to, you know, just when he was just sitting down. She just showed up, and that was an opportunity that presented itself. Pray that God gives you opportunities like her, where you're just sitting around, somebody walks by, hey, give me some water. Hopefully they're like, what do you mean, bro? This is my water. But you guys know the story. So besides, obviously, laborers or praying for the lost, another group we should be praying for, I'm already an hour in. I promise I'm going to wrap it up in the next 5 minutes. The next group I think we should be praying for every day is our enemies. Because that can get really fun. Think about all the people that talk trash, say bad things, that you think, no, these people are no way, you know, just normal sinners. These people are going above and beyond, trying to do horrific things. Well, it is what it is. God says to pray for who? Pray for our enemies. You know, I'm not necessarily talking about those that hate, you know, the Lord. I'm talking about those that may not like you for whatever reason. At work, maybe it's even here at church, which is sad if that's the case, but you shouldn't be the one that's causing the issue. If somebody doesn't like you, it better be because they're bitter, because guess what? It's their pride, not your pride. Last time I checked, only by pride come in contention. So if you have issues with someone, check your pride. And if it's not your pride, guess what? We are allowed to strive with people, you know, if we have a cause, if they're doing us harm. But if there's no reason for you to go after someone or be angry at someone, then you know what? You need to confess your sin, and your sin is pride, because you're the one with the problem. But if it's not you and it's them, what does the Bible tell you to do? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. And of course, Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, or rather get placed unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, God will repay. And Proverbs 25:21, if thy enemy hunger, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. And of course, let me just wrap it up. So already on E, we got three more letters. I'll just quickly go through them. Here's one of the things we should also be praying for as much as we can. We should be praying for missionaries. If you know the Old or New Testament, this is something that constantly Paul is asking for. He's constantly asking for prayer. And I don't know a lot of missionaries. I know Brother Stuckey. I know Pastor Bogard. I think there's another brother named Urbanek. Is that his name? He was sent out by Steadfast. Is that the case? And obviously, we got Brother Raymond over there in the Philippines somewhere hanging out. Right? Well, once in a while, we should be bringing them up to the Lord. Why? Because guess what? They need it. Look what Paul did. Paul just kept bringing it up. Hey, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'll just give you a few examples. Romans 15, 30 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You know, Colossians 4, 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Ephesians 6:19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So simply, we should be praying that these missionaries are saved, God opens up doors, God gives them boldness, and that they effectively spread the gospel. Amen? Now, another one that I just threw in there, but I'll explain in a second. We already got the M, which is missionary. The next letter is the A, and the A stands for America. America. But if you don't live in America, it could be Australia. And if it's not Australia, it could be Africa, even though Africa is not a country. What I'm saying is your government is what it comes down to. Why? Because we should. When I thought of this point, I saw Daniel. Look what Daniel said in Daniel 9:3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. Let me just skip ahead for a second. Says, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly. Daniel didn't just pray for himself. He confessed and prayed for his whole nation, even while under ungodly Babylonian rule. And even Moses felt bad when, you know, his nation was sinning. In Exodus 32, 31, it says this, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And of course, we should pray that our leaders start waking up. Why? Because Psalms 33, 12 says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And who heard what happened at the Pentagon this week? Or maybe it was last week. They got a bunch of people upset. Who knows who Pete Hegseth is? The Department of Defense. I think he's the secretary or whatever. So of all things for people to get upset about, and don't get me wrong, he's doing a lousy job. He's leaking intel, leaking war plans, texting, you know, his buddies, his wife, you know, jets that are about to go bomb, you know, whatever over in the other side of the world. But one of the things that I guess they all got upset is that at the Pentagon, he was having like some kind of prayer service. Who's heard about that? You heard about that? And they're all getting upset. I'm like, you know what? Of all the things to get upset with Pete Hegseth, a prayer meeting is probably not one of them. And I'm not saying that Hegseth is saved. I have no clue. I highly doubt it. The way he just lies and the way he's just doing business, I don't think he has a conscience, but hey, he's pretending to be a Christian. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't think he is. But hey, it's a start. When was the last time somebody prayed in the Pentagon? And so everybody's like, hey, he needs to remember the separation of church and state, where they don't even understand themselves. So they're whining and complaining. Hey, can you believe what this guy did? What did he do now? What, did he leak out more war plans? What did he do now? Did he get drunk again because he's a drunkard? What did he do now? What did Pete Hegseth do now? Did he commit adultery again? You know, did he divorce his wife for like the fourth time? What did he do? This is what he did. He had a prayer meeting, and they were praying in the Pentagon. Almost snap. I don't know if that's an answer to prayer or if he's just trying to deflect so he doesn't get in trouble for all the bad things he's doing. But either way, if you want to get yourself some peace when you hear about all the corruption going on in Washington, then just pray for Washington. Pray that God will raise up some leaders and will actually do something that can benefit America in a positive way. Because I don't think everybody's corrupt in Washington. There's got to be at least one saved person out of how many politicians they have down there. So he can use our prayer, whoever that person may be. But honestly, I've done it many times. Lord, you know what they're up to in Washington. Lord, you know what they're trying to push on our kids. Lord, I don't know how bad it's going to get, but you do. And at least I can say, I prayed. I didn't vote for the red. I didn't vote for the blue. But you know what? I think that our righteousness and our prayers will do a whole lot more than your vote. And next time, if anybody here wants to run for president, I'll vote for you just so I can say, hey, I voted. Because that's what they want to say. Oh, people on the right, whatever, people on the left, whatever. Some of you guys didn't vote, so you don't have the right to complain. Well, can somebody here please run for president so I can vote for you? Then I have the right to complain. Reggie, what's up? No? You don't feel like being president? I'm not saying you're going to win. I just need a way to get out of this whole mess. Huh? Take Fidel with you. Fidel's like, I don't got papers, bro. I'm like, okay. Hey, watch out. They're coming for you. But trust me, it will give you some peace when you hear about the crazy stuff that Trump is doing with his crypto scam, his $400 million bribe of a plane that he's getting, you know, how he's enriching himself. And if I hear one more person say that Donald Trump is the only president that lost money being president, is making billions of dollars losing money to you? Because he's making a lot of money in the billions. But either way, don't drive yourself crazy. Just pray for America. Amen? That's the A. And if you live in Africa, Australia, whatever, you do the same. Last but not least, the S stands for special prayer requests. And I start out with this group. I start praying for the sick. Why? Because that's what it says in James 5:14. Is any among you, if is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. So when I think, Lord, who's sick in our church? I know Adiko, is she feeling better? Or is she still struggling? Nobody knows about Adiko. I guess she has some kind of issues. Mrs. Scranton, is she doing better, getting worse? Well, she's going to start getting better tonight, right? We got 100 people in here that can pray, amen? And even if God doesn't remove the pain, at least pray that God gives her the grace to go through the pain. We can all do that, true? So that's the group that I pray for as far as my special request. Lord, is anybody sick? Is there anybody straying? Why? Because the Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. Ask what? For forgiveness. Like, Lord, hey, don't let this guy backslide to the point where he leaves. So pray for anybody who's straying. And what else? Anybody who's struggling. So I'm like, Lord, who's struggling in our church financially or whatever? Who's struggling with their marriage? Lord, help them. I don't have money, but you do. So whatever it is that they need, Lord, I don't know. Give it to me. I'll give it to them. Or have somebody give it to them. I don't care. But I think such and such is struggling with this, such and such is struggling with that. Lord, step in and help. Does it make sense, or am I totally losing you guys? And it may seem like it's a lot, but here's the deal. It's only 12 things. So if you have a 15-minute break, and praise the Lord for America, who gets breaks at their work? Great. How long is your break? Micaiah, how long is your break? 30 minutes? Do you get one before that? A quick little 10-minute or nothing? No, I guess America isn't that great anymore. Nobody gets breaks before the lunch anymore? Nope. You do? How long is your break? 15 minutes. Oh, I'm glad you said 15 minutes. As you notice, it's 12 letters. Mi problemas, if you count them, it's 12 letters. 1 minute on each, I'll help you out. Spend 3 minutes, one adoring God, one confessing your sins, one thanking God, and then hit each letter for at least 1 minute. You'll get through pretty much everybody. That's at least 15 minutes for the day. Maybe you can do it at noon, like David said, morning, night, and noon. I'll pray unto thee. So if you do it 3 times a day, guess what? That's 45 minutes. 45 minutes of prayer. And what did Jesus get upset about? Couldn't you stay awake at least 1 hour, guys? Come on, 1 hour? And I'm not saying for you guys to absolutely have to pray for an hour a day to be right with the Lord, but you should pray some. And if this is too long, then do the English version. My problems. Now you pray for, guess who? You know, my pastor, your immediate family, pastor's family, real family, other believers in Christ, backsliders, the laws, my enemies, because it's fun praying for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Don't we have a lot of enemies that we can pray for out here? Don't we? Imagine we have 1,000 people on average at the end of the week listening to Pastor Anderson's sermons. If you're on our side, guess what? If you know of our enemies, what about 1,000 people praying against one of our enemies? What do you think is going to happen to that guy? Oh, yeah. Hopefully not too bad, because we need him to keep making stupid videos for easy rewards. Amen? That's the way I see it. I had one of these guys that left our church. He text messaged me, how's your imprecatory prayers going? I heard you said I would never buy a house. How you feel now? And I'm thinking, this fool literally thinks that prosperity is godliness. What in the world? He literally doesn't understand who God is. Last time I checked, wasn't there like 10 plagues before God killed somebody's son in the Bible? And those are just warning shots. So I'm thinking, first of all, I never prayed for any imprecatory, but I'll start now. And I'm going to recruit about 100 people from our church, if that's what you really want. And then I'll recruit 1,000 people on the internet, possibly 10,000 people on the internet, if that's what you really want. So you got my number. Text me if you really want to push this thing and push it hard. We'll get to that point where you'll receive a slice of humble pie quicker than you thought. Hopefully you'll get back to church and back on track. But at the end of the day, like I said, if you don't like the mi problemas too long, hey, do the my problems. You know, like I said, L, loss, E, enemies, M, it is what it is. There's always Pastor Borgard you can pray for, right? Pray for that missionary. And if you already prayed for America, you don't need to pray again. Just skip straight to the S, and that's where anybody sick, strained, struggling, you can go ahead and ask in that moment. Roger that. And you can ask for your Ferrari and your mansion and your supermodel wife, whatever else you want to ask for. Special request. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit will give you something better than you even asked for. Like Pastor said, hey, praying for dumb things is better than not praying at all, right? I messed that up, but y'all know what I'm saying. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. Obviously, Father, you take prayer very serious. It's a very serious thing to you, so it should be very serious to us. And Father, I did my best to be able to help people know what to kind of pray for every single day. And Father, I ask you to bless everyone that's here. Well, Lord, you know their needs better than I do, and I ask you to meet them tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn number 309, hymn number 309. Dare to be a Daniel, hymn number 309. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, number 309. Sing it out together now.
Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command.